church to spend a moment in your own way just thanking him this morning. Just settle in right where you're at and just focus in and just say thank you. I can't thank you enough. Hallelujah. You know, I love coming to church on Sunday mornings. I love coming into the worship center because it's different than out there. It's different. Yeah, I know God goes with you wherever you go, but it's different when you come into the house. It's different. It seems like when I get to the door, half of me stays there and the other half just goes into the presence. It's different. Did you know that God built you different today? You're unique. You're going to learn about that today. But when we settle in into the worship center, things just feel different. Like when we're worshiping, maybe in our car or out in the community, wherever, praying, but when you come into the house, the presence of God overwhelms the uniqueness and the power, the presence. It's just kind of different. That's what you feel today, God's presence, His power. But you have to make a decision to receive it. You know, it's always here. You always can walk into it, but it doesn't mean you always receive it. And I'm going to challenge you today, church, to receive it. To receive it. See, God always has something for us. It's always an opportunity to receive, but we are not always good receivers. Especially if what He's given is not what we're seeking. Today, you're going to learn about that. So let's bow our hearts today and go into the presence of God and receive whatever He has for us. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our God. We are your people. I thank you, Lord God, for this fine house that you built for us. Not only the physical structure, but us as individuals, Lord. In all our imperfections and all our challenges, Lord God, you could still dwell right in the middle. Lord God, I thank you for that today. My heart is full of thankfulness today. Thankful, Lord God, that I'm standing here today. Lord God, I ask for that power to continue to pour out upon Cross Point Church. Those in the house, those watching online, Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that we have so many watching today online. The many countries that join us, the many schools in Africa joining us today, Lord God, thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us to broadcast to those kids. Lord God, I pray right now that that heart of thankfulness continues throughout this service, Lord God. We leave here, we realize that you build us different, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, sit down and grab somebody before you do and say, I am built different today. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Well, good morning. How many know that you're built different? If you don't know that yet, you're going to find out, right? Amen? Well, so good to see each and every one of you this morning. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors along with my wife, Christine. And I just want to greet and welcome you both in the house. If you're joining us online, welcome as well. I know there's several people that are still sick in body and aren't able to be here in person. So again, we welcome and we love the fact that they join us online. And any of those that we always like to hear where you're joining us from. So if you're commenting on the thread, if you're on Facebook, if you're joining us from YouTube, whatever it is, just let us know, because we always love to hear back from you in that way. Hey, if this is your first time here with us, joining us online, if this is your first time as well, we'd love to connect with you. And one of the best ways is through our digital connect. And if you're here in the house, if you're in the building, you can see that both on your bulletin. There's a little QR code, but there's a little QR code sticker right in front of you on the seat back pew in front of you. You can just take your phone out, open up your camera phone there, and it'll just connect automatically. If you have that setting on, you got to have that setting on though. I know some people have had some issues with that, but you got to have that setting on where it automatically connects you to, and it just is the ability to correspond back and forth with the Crosspoint, with our church, and get to know you, answer any questions, help get you plugged in and ministry and those types of things. So we would love to connect with you. We'd love to minister. We'd love to bless you in that way. And if this is your first time, we also want to gift you something. And if you're in the house, you can just take your phone back to our VIP center. Just show them that you opened that up and that you were in the process of doing that. And what they're going to do is give you a little gift box just to bless you, just to say thank you for being here. Has a few things in there. I think a Chick-fil-A gift card. So again, we love the fact that you're here today. Thank you for being here. If you're looking and searching for a church home, we always would say it this way, just prayerfully consider to make Crosspoint your church family. And I think Pastor Brad said it, it's not just a building. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord with our family, our church family? And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And again, love to have you and connect with you. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to give a couple updates on how to give. We are a church that believes in bringing that tithe into the storehouse, that biblical principle of giving. And we have different ways, and we just want to remind you of that. You can always do it through a few ways. You can scan on your bulletin. If you grabbed a bulletin, great resource, by the way, to have, okay? You can scan the little QR code because that will take you digitally. You can give right through that, super easy. You can also do it through our Church Center app. Can I still just give you the encouragement to do that? That is a great resource tool to have as well. Super easy. If you have a phone or a smartphone, and if you, let's say you're on Facebook, you can do this. I promise you, it's not hard. It really isn't. Church Center app is a great, great tool to have. You can give right through that. You can tell it. You can tell how much, and you can make it automatic if you want. Super easy to do that. That's how my wife and I, we give here to the house. You can go on our website, and again, that's cpoint.church. You can go right to say, it says give online. You can do that. It's an easy way. And if you're just old school, because I like old school too, you can give in the house. There's some giving stations right in the back, and you can do that. So again, we try to make it as convenient as possible as we can, but we believe in bringing in the tenth to the storehouse, right, for the work of the ministry of the Lord to bless and to further his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Hey, real quick, just upcoming here at Crosspoint. We are taking a break for the rest of the month of August. We're just kind of resting and relaxing. I don't know about you, but it's been a busy summer still for us. We went through VBS, and we went through our partnership with Malone Pioneer Camp. It's been a busy summer, so we're going to take off the rest for our Wednesday night journey nights. We're going to take off that rest of the month, and then we're going to relaunch. Heads up, we're going to relaunch here in September, so be on the lookout September 10th. Wednesday, September 10th, we're going to be relaunching our journey night. So just be ready because it's going to be different. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. But you know what? Different's not bad. Amen? Different is not bad. Different is good because we want to grow. We want to be challenged and stretch for the kingdom in that way. So can you believe, ladies in the house, can you believe Time Apart is almost upon us? Time Apart is the ministry, Ohio Ministry Network Women's Conference. It's down at Heartland, our campground. It is almost here. And so if you're a lady in the house and you want to be a part, if you want more information, do us a favor. Come to the VIP Center. Check it out. We can give you all that information. Early bird deadline to register is August 22nd, though. That's the early bird. So I think there's a discount for that. So if you are interested in going to that, can I just tell you, at least for my wife's sake, because I've never been there, my wife has. It is a time of renewal, refreshing, and just it's soul giving. How's that, right? So can I encourage all the ladies in the house from youngest to oldest? We are a church family, and I want to encourage you and challenge you as a pastor here to be a part of the ladies' ministry and what we have to offer in the This is a fantastic women's retreat time apart. The conference is September, though, September 26th through the 27th. So again, early bird is August 22nd. So it's upon us really fast. So get your information in. If you have any questions, come see us. If you got any questions, if I left anything out, check out the bulletin. It's a great resource for us to have, for you to have, as well as our Church Center app. You can find this on the Church Center app. So check out our website or our Facebook page for any announcements that I might have missed. So, church, I love you. God bless. We'll see you in a little bit.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Church, let Pastor Mike know how much you appreciate him. I appreciate my staff, both paid, unpaid staff. I appreciate the leadership, but I appreciate my church. I thank God every day for you. We love you. Nicole and I just brag on you all the time. We had the opportunity to just brag on you with Joe Jackson last week. You remember Joe Jackson? Yep, Joe Jackson was here last week. What a blessing. What a blessing. He sent me a text last night at 11:30. Joe, thanks a lot. You know, it's not 11:30 his time. It's 3 hours earlier, right? And I got to text him back because I haven't done that. I'm going to do that tonight at 3 a.m. So, you know, get him back, right? Hey, don't forget, you can follow along the message today, church, by just opening up the Church Center app and hitting sermon notes. You can follow along. And throughout this week, we will put out a short devotional about today's message. We do that every week from Monday to Thursday. You'll see that in the Church Center app. Get a little dose of the message from today throughout the week. We've been doing that for a while now, and many of you are part of that. It has been a really good summer. We are taking that summer off. I mean, pardon me, that month off, and people decided to get some last-minute vacations in and take off. So we're going to continue to take a break in August. You know, don't you think sometimes you just need a breather, right? Pastor Mike was certainly accurate when he says we've been busy. We've been busy this summer, and so we're going to take August and relaunch some new things in September, as he mentioned. Can I tell you a story? You okay with that? You know, pastors get together and eat. Just like you do, right? That's crazy pastors. We get together, we have lunch or dinner, you know. So your pastor decides, no, I'm going to do that. And I'm recovering from surgery. No one told me that this recovery would be as aggravating as it is. And it's been, you know, so I thought, you know, I'll just hang out with some of these pastors and go to lunch, you know. Do that and chill out a little bit. And so, you know, we're doing that and, you know, this conversation around the table and this talk about, you know, pastor stuff. Man, is that boring stuff. Anyways, you know, we're talking pastor stuff, right? But, you know, the topic comes up, what do you want people to say when they're looking at you in a casket after you die as they're walking by you? What do you want them to say? Like, what is your desire for them to remember you by as you're walking by? And I'm thinking, wow, all your friends and family walking by at the viewing and looking at you. And, you know, what do you want them to say? One of the pastors says, you know, I want them to say I was a great father and family man. That they remember I was a great father and I was a great family man. I thought, that's really deep. That's inspirational. Me too, right? I wouldn't mind that. The other pastor says, well, you know, I want them to say I'm a great preacher. I want them to remember that I could bring the word and I could preach down heaven. I want them, there's a great preacher there. I love the family. That was my calling. I want people to remember that. You know, a bunch of conversation about that. Of course, then they kind of look at your pastor. They say, well, Pastor Brad, what do you want them to remember you by? Is all your friends and your family are walking by, looking down. What do you want them to think about you? I said, I hope they look at me and say, hey, he moved. Right? That's what I want. He moved. Why? Because I'm still alive, church. We're still alive, right? You still alive today? We are alive. And it's okay to shout and praise God in his house. So I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to read something. I want you to recite it right after I get done the sentence. Can you do that for me? All right, get ready. Here we go. I am not common. I am chosen. I am not random. I am redeemed. God formed me. God knows me. I am set apart. I am built different. Give heaven praise today, church. You are built different. We are different before you had a name. Should be on the screen behind me. Before you had a name, God had a plan. Before you had a voice, God spoke over you. Before you took your first breath, heaven drafted your blueprint. You are not random. You're not replaceable. You're not forgotten. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You weren't created to conform. You were designed to disrupt. Is there anybody in the house today that says, Pastor, I'm here to disrupt, storm the gates of hell and disrupt hell for the kingdom of heaven, right? Different, different. Today I'm starting a series called Built Different. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I'm different. Jesus made me different. And there's a requirement on me in my life because he's made me different. Have you ever heard the phrase, you're just different? You're just different. They looked at me around the table and says, oh, really? Is that what you want? Look down there. You're moving. You're just different. Praise God. Different. You want to be different? You know, we hear things like, you know, you're just different. You know, you don't fit in, right? You're an outcast. You know, you hear things like that as a Christian sometimes. What is it about you, Pastor? You're just a little bit off. In church, that's not a curse. That's the favor of God on your life because people see that you are different. You're different today. If you're a believer in the house or watching online, you are certainly different. It's an unexplainable, sometimes uniqueness about you and I. Different. It's not a flaw. It's just God's favor. See, believers were never meant to fit in. We weren't meant to fit into the world. We were meant to be different. We were never meant to be part of the same culture and situations in the world. God called us to be apart from that. And we're going to talk to you about that for the next several weeks. 1 Peter 2:9, let's just jump right in. Peter speaks and says, you are a chosen people. He's writing to Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Believers, struggling, converts, and things going on. And he's writing to them and saying things like this. You're chosen now. You are God's special possession. He wants them to realize that you are now different. This Jesus that showed up and we preached about, and we're preaching about, he made you different. It was a pagan society, right? And Jesus shows up and their pagan society is still there, but now there's a bunch of different people living different because Jesus showed up. And he's writing and saying, listen, you're chosen too. Right? You're not an afterthought. He uses the word chosen because now you're not an afterthought. You're selected. And God selected you with intent. Think about that today, church. You're selected today with intent. It doesn't matter where your background comes from. It doesn't matter your current situation. You are still selected, chosen with intent. What does that mean? He's saying, listen, God wants you. He selected you. He wants you. You're chosen. You're selected. He uses the word special possession. That means you were purchased with the blood of Jesus. Purchased. Now you're the possession of heaven. Not only were you selected, now you are the possession, the ownership of heaven. You are now part of the family. And this family is different. This family has a different leader. Sinless and perfect. A leader that's willing to be sacrificed for you. And he's teaching them that. Now, Did they all receive it? They did not. But many of them did, just like today. Many people receive it, many don't. I've been so encouraged as I watch things on the news and online of the media coverage, finally, of the power of God moving on people's lives. Just stadiums filled with people worshiping. Concerts in some of our mainstream worship leaders and bands and whatnot, and they're leading people in worship, and there's 20,000 people there being led in worship, right? It's different than the concerts they usually see in the media. The power of God is moving. And Peter starts to talk about that. He starts to let them know that there's a difference. Your identity, that's who you are. He's talking about identity, is not defined by the culture that they are now living in. It's defined by their relationship with Jesus. It's different now. It's new. But you're not defined by the pagan culture that you're living in. You're now defined because Jesus Christ showed up. And your identity is changing. He's giving you a new identity. And Peter starts to teach this concept. And I call it identity before activity. Identity before activity. See, a lot of times we hear, you know, God, what's my purpose? And what's all, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to do? All the, you know, we're focusing on the activity, but the identity part's never been really ironed out yet. And Peter starts to teach about that, and I'm going to talk about that a lot today. The identity, your relationship with Jesus has got to be really established before God gives you the activity he wants you to do. And if you're sitting here today or watching online, you're struggling with the activity, the purpose in my life and what you want me to do and where you want me to go and all those things. Your activity will be defined by your identity. Your identity shows up with Jesus in your life, relationship and trust and accountability and all those things. If you don't have that ironed out, you're never going to get the activity part figured out. And that's why a lot of people struggle. And Peter starts to talk about that. Jesus defines who we are before he tells us what to do. And right there, you've got to stop and pause, because there is probably a lot of our struggles. When your identity in Christ is figured out and you've got that really nailed down, then you can go to the next step and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because he can trust you. And Paul starts to explain that to Titus in Titus 2:14. It says, who gave himself for us, Jesus, of course, that he might redeem us from all this iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Church, not only are you different, but you're peculiar. Now, some of you are a little bit more peculiar than others. And I'm probably leading the charge. You laugh, but you know, he wasn't talking about being weird. Not at all. He wasn't talking about weirdness at all, right? He's talking about, I now have my mark on you. That's the selection part. You are now part of a different family, so you're going to be different. But I have my mark on you, so that peculiarity, so to speak, right, is because you're identifying with me now and not what you used to identify with. So I put this, like, spiritual mark on you. You're mine, and I am yours, and now you're on a new team. And that's peculiar to everybody that's around you that's not on the same team, not part of the same family, and it's peculiar. It's not for weirdness, right? Jesus didn't come to save us from something. He saved us for something. He's got something up his sleeve, right? Jesus didn't just create us. He crafted us. That's why Psalm 139, 14, and this is a scripture many of you love, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, you're not cloned today, church. There's nobody else like you, and my wife said. Amen, yeah, right, amen. Nobody else like him, right? There's no cloning going on. Let me explain to you a little something about that. You know, ever hear of DNA? Yeah, that's like the big thing these last so many years now. They figured out that there's a fingerprint in your life. Now, they're not going to tell you it's really from God's fingerprint inside of you, but there's a fingerprint. And I want to tell you, there are 3 trillion cells in your body today. Now, if you're a little bit bigger, you have a little bit more. If you're a little bit smaller, you have a little less. But on the average, you've got 3, and that's trillion with a T. Trillion cells in your body. Let me tell you about God's fingerprint. Inside of each cell, there's DNA strand. And that DNA strand is 3.2 billion. I think he'll put them up on the screen here in a second. That DNA strand, there's 3.2 billion letters of genetic code in each of your 3 trillion cells. Why? Because I have marked you special. And years ago, scientists found out that you are marked different. You are unique and you are special. And there's this DNA code inside of you. In fact, it's 3.2 billion strands. So here's how it works. 3.2 billion letters long. In pairs, 2, 4, 6, 8, you know, it just goes. It's a strand of 3.2 billion letters, and they're duplicated. It's a pair in every cell of your body, exactly identifying you as you. That's why they're figuring out that they could catch some of these criminals now, because you can't replicate it into somebody else. You got yours, and I got mine. And we got them from a creator. And we are different from each other. We're not cloned, right? How many have a computer? Some type of device, right? Don't you love it when you go to that computer and they say, change your password? Right? Yeah, I know some of your passwords, I'm telling you, right? So change your password, and then like Google or somebody says, no, I'm going to give you a password. And they try to give you this password that's unhackable, right? And you see it show up in the field of your computer or your device. It's all this funny stuff, right? And they've determined that if you do this password, you are going to probably be unhackable. And that password is 16 characters long. It has uppercase letters and lowercase letters. It has numbers from 0 to 9 only. And it has a bunch of special characters. The ampersand, the plus sign, the at sign with the circle around it. Those are special, you know, the exclamation point, right? Those are special characters. And you throw some of those in there, 16 characters long. So look on the screen behind me. This is what it looks like. That's not my password, by the way, right? But that's what it looks like. That's what they say. It's unhackable. It's unique. It identifies your connection to that computer or that device. And if you do it like this, you're super protected, super unique, 16 characters long with a bunch of gibberish mixing everything up. God says that's not good enough. God gave you 3 trillion cells, and each side of each cell is 3.2 billion letters of pairs of DNA code to say, that's you. You're special. Not cloned, not somebody else. Even twins have their own DNA code, right? God went far beyond stuff like this. Studies say that there's 100 billion people that have now come through planet Earth. 100 billion so far, roughly. 100 billion people. And guess what? Every single one of them have their own unique DNA code, their own unique fingerprint of God on their lives, identifying them, connected with Him. but you still got to receive him. But he's still got his fingerprint on you. You're still built different, church. You're built more different than you ever imagined, right? You are just different. We are built different. God designed your DNA to be a unique QR code of divine identity. He hardwired your passions, your instincts, your strengths, even your quirks, because there's an opportunity in the kingdom that only you can do. Nobody else can do it. You're a specific build for a specific battle, a specific voice for a specific generation. You're a specific fingerprint to leave a specific mark someplace or somehow. See, it's like this. God built us different with a divine identity, a call to embrace a divine opportunity. Remember, identity precedes activity. So today's message is entitled in this series, Set Apart by Design. For a divine opportunity, I'm set apart by God's design. He already built me different and put all this DNA code in my life. I'm different. But now what do I do? And I'm going to teach you how he set you apart for something special. Before anything else, we are called, though, to stand out and be different. You, as a believer today, are called, first and foremost, to stand out and be different. We don't do the same things that they all do, right? You are different. Your divine identity, that's who you are, gives birth to a divine opportunity. And a lot of times that identity that we're seeking in Jesus, we stay in the identity portion of our relationship with Christ and we don't get to the activity because we're still trying to figure out the identity. Who are we? What am I? What am I supposed to be doing? Let me give you an example today. And I'm going to use Jeremiah again, church, because I've just been using Jeremiah because he just fits. Remember the story of Jeremiah, the prophet in the Bible, right? God speaks to Jeremiah and gives him an assignment to speak to Judah, the southern kingdom, right? And say, listen, they're acting up. They're not doing the right things. The people aren't doing the right things, and I'm going to send you to speak that message. It's pretty much in paraphrasing, that's what's going on, right? And God selects this man, this unique boy, when he was called. He was quite young, right? He calls him young. He calls him old. But he's speaking to Jeremiah because he's got a judgment coming with the Babylonian Empire to take him all over, and right, take him captive. He's going to give him one last chance. I'm going to send this guy to start speaking this to you. And so there's conversation going on. And I'm going to use a scripture that many of you are very familiar with because you hear it a lot. It's Jeremiah 1:5. It goes like this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. The reason you probably know that scripture a lot is because it's a pro-life scripture that people use often when talking pro-life anti-abortion things. You hear that, trying to make the argument to people that it's not in the womb thing, it's way before that, that God put his fingerprint on you because he knew you. You hear it a lot, right? The problem is a lot of times you're talking to people that don't believe in the Bible, so they don't, that doesn't hold much water. But let me teach you something of this conversation in that scripture today. Before I formed you in the womb, the Hebrew word form means I shaped you like a potter does. It's the exact same form, Hebrew form, that's used at the beginning of time in Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man, shaped man from the dust of the ground. He shaped your inside before your outside even showed up. Before you were in the womb of your mom, he's shaping you. He crafted you, but not mass produced you. That's why we all have our own DNA. See, church, but society wants to label you, but heaven has already named you. Before they judged our character, God ordained our greatness. He knew us a long time ago. They want to label you, but heaven's already named you. And Jesus calls you great. You are truly different. And he uses this phrase that says, I knew you. That means he's establishing your identity with an intimate relationship using three things. The relationship between Jesus and you. Building trust is the second thing. He's going to build trust with you. And then accountability from you to him shows up. Those are the three things that start to develop this identity in you. And if one of those three things is off, you feel like you're off. So if your relationship isn't there, you're feeling off. If the trust isn't there, because you're not doing the right things, you're feeling off, right? If you're not willing to be accountable to heaven, which means accountable to your spouse, accountable to your parents, accountable to your boss, accountable. If you're not willing to have accountability in your life, the identity with Jesus is off. Because he wants you to have those things in your life. And so sometimes we struggle with identity. It's not because we're struggling maybe with the relationship, but we're struggling with the trust factor. Or, you know, you don't trust Jesus. You don't want to be accountable to Jesus. Or you don't want to be accountable to your boss or your spouse or whatever. You just don't want that accountability. So it's off. And so you're asking God for this, God, give me this purpose. Give me this activity in my life. But that relationship might be off. Or the trust isn't there. Or the accountability isn't there. So the identity from Jesus to you is a little bit off. And he wants that repair before he gets the assignment, the opportunity to you. He wants that all ready to go. Right? The Bible speaks to that, teaches us that. So he says, I knew you at the beginning. I know who you are. You were known by God before you were ever seen by anybody. God knew you. That's what that means. But then he says, I set you apart. I love this part. Because this is what God does before you were even showing up on planet Earth. Before you were even one of the 100 billion people that went through planet Earth. Before that even happened, God grabbed you. And he moved you over here. And he said, I got you here. He set you apart from everybody else that would not receive his son. Jeremiah, I got my eye on you. I got my eye on you. You're set apart. I got something special. I got an opportunity. I got a mission. I got a situation. I got something that only you, with your unique DNA, that's special, how I created. I got this for you, and nobody else could do it but you. That's why he penned it in Jeremiah. It's you. And I'm going to set you apart over here, and I'm going to hope that you receive what I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you something. I got a special assignment for you. To speak this thing in the seventh century before Jesus showed up, right? That's Jeremiah, seventh century, hundreds of years, right? I've got this for you to do. It's going to take you a few years. It's going to be rough, but you're the guy for the job. The relationship starts to go, right? The trust starts to show up. The accountability's got to be there, but he set them apart for the assignment. I wonder what set apart assignment we're all waiting for today, right? He sanctified his life. He refined his life. He approved Jeremiah's life for kingdom use. He's got to receive it, right? See, God placed a spiritual reservation on Jeremiah's life before his body even showed up on earth. Right? That's what happened. Set him apart. See, church, being built different means you are not for common use. Being set apart means you're designed for kingdom purposes. So your calling isn't accidental. It was assigned, and it likely exceeds your comfort zone. If you're in a situation and you're super comfortable with it, you might need to be challenged just a little bit more. Right? Why? Because, church, you're a masterpiece with a mission. You are a masterpiece today. Somebody say, I'm a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece set apart. And this church, you and I, we are on a mission. Look what Ephesians 2:10 says. It says, "For we are called God's handiwork." Handiwork. See, Paul is writing here to the church in Ephesus. Just like some of us today, we're confused. We don't know really what's going on, what's going on in the world. The same thing's going on. He uses the word handiwork, which is Greek word pioma. It means a work of art, is what it means. Church, you are a work of art today. Unique, built different, set apart to do something special. And he says, pioma, a work of art, handiwork, is what we are today. And God sends this invitation to everybody to be set apart. 1 Timothy 2:4, God's desire to be all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? You are different. You are special. You are my handiwork. You are my work of art. I want a relationship with you. I want trust to build between us. I want accountability. I want you for my own special possession. I want you to be a part of my family. The creator of the heavens and the earth says, I want you to be a part of my family. Church, you want to be a part of the creator's family today. Special and called. Different. 1 Peter 1:2, it says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Writing again to modern day Turkey or Asia Minor, Peter continues to tell us who we are in Jesus. And God knew us and set us apart and has a special assignment for us. And if you're sitting here today or watching online, you say, Pastor, I don't know that special assignment. I don't know that opportunity in my life. Maybe the identity part is not set up yet. Maybe you're not trusting enough. Maybe you don't have the relationship. Maybe you don't have the accountability built into your life like he wants it built before you get the activation for the activity. Now, I believe, as pastor, that he's going to reactivate some of you. He's going to activate some of you, and some things are going to be different as we move forward as a church. The church things may be different, and you may be different. Why? Because God's identity is showing up inside of you, and the activity is starting to be pronounced. But we still have to receive it. You could say, I don't want it. Pastor, I just don't want it. I'm good. Some of you have been sitting waiting for something to happen, and the reason it doesn't happen is because the identity with heaven has never been truly established. So the activity never shows up. It's as biblical as it gets. See, God calls every person into a relationship with him, again, identity, before he activates your calling, your mission, or your opportunity. See, God sets the table. He opens the door. He makes a way, but he will never force the choice to receive. It's like, I knew you. I set you apart, Jeremiah. But Jeremiah still had to do what? He had to go preach it. He could have stayed in his house, kicked his feet up on the stool, turned on the ball game, grabbed the remote control, grabbed his phone, and started, you know, surfing whatever, and never moved. But he didn't do that, the scripture says. He received it, and he went out and started preaching it. Now, I'm not saying it was received well, because you know the story. You know? Some receive, some don't. But he didn't stop. You know the story of Jeremiah. We've talked about how the persecution came down on his life. Right? But he kept preaching it. He kept preaching it. Being set apart is an ongoing choice because Romans 12:1-2 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice every single day. Right? Keep going. Right? God's design doesn't expire, but the opportunity to walk in it can be missed. Right? Like, it's laid out there. God's got it. got to straighten out the identity part to get to the activation of the activity, but it's not going to, but you can miss it. God's not going to withdraw it, but you can miss it, right? Church, you were designed for so much more, but you got to step into it. So let's go back to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, right? Pioma means you're a work of art. Created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared, set apart in advance for us to do. The activation, the good works. It's prepared. The table is set. It's available. We got to walk into it. Is what that means. Being set apart isn't just status. It's an open door into the life you were made for. Church, you can live common or you can live consecrated, but you can't do both. Your design contains your destiny, but it does require your decision. The door is open. The call is going out. The invitation has your name on it. It's got your DNA all over it. But only you can say yes. Only you can receive it. Don't walk away from the opportunity of a lifetime to be known, loved, transformed, and activated and used by God. Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. See, there's some here today that can't get to the activation activity phase again because they're stuck on the identification identity side. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. If he did, he would do these things. God says, if you love me, you would just receive me. Then I'll do all these things. Trust is the second thing I taught you, right? Trust. And then accountability. We're stuck on the relationship. You're not doing your part. You're not doing, you know. I'm going to challenge you today to just receive him for who he is. And then that trust thing shows up. And that accountability thing shows up. And all of a sudden, he's going to activate your life and things change. Why? Because you're built different. You're set apart. You're handcrafted. You're a work of art. But even a work of art has got to receive the Creator's touch. If you're sitting here today and watching online and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior for that identity part of being different, built different, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. And I'm going to give those in the house or online that says, boy, Pastor, I'm kind of confused. I've got this situation going on in my life or whatever, and you're kind of like struggling with the relationship or the trust and the accountability and all those things. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do the same. Why? Because God wants to activate something in you, but he got to fix the identity portion first. And it's so simple. It's just having the trust to say yes to heaven. Done it. I've done it more than once. I've done it when I was 9. I did it when I was a little bit older. 20. Again. God, I ain't doing this right. I got to come back. I got to come back. So church, let's do this. Before we move on, let's just bow our hearts. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, Pastor, that is exactly what I'm struggling with, that identity in Jesus, that's exactly what I need. If that is you today, I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not calling you down front. I'm not going to identify who you are, but there's an identity thing in you that you just need. If you just want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, thank you so much. Just slip your hand up. Thank you for the hand down front. Is there anybody else? Thank you for the hand in the middle. Several hands. Is there anybody else? Thank you for that hand in the down front. Anybody else? Anybody? How about this? Is there somebody here that says, Pastor, I've accepted Christ before. I'm really struggling with this identity. Things aren't panning out for me. That relationship might not be right. The trust, I just don't trust heaven like I used to. I just don't, you know, I don't have that accountability. I think things aren't working right for me. If that is you today and you want to make a declaration to heaven that you're going to fix it, because you're just going to call upon the name of the Lord today and just do it again, I'm going to challenge you just to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, you saw the hands that were raised today. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the first time people that said yes to heaven, to those that said a rededicated life and said yes to heaven. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Father God, they want to be a work of art. They are owned and possessed. They are your special possession, Lord. They are built different, Lord. And Father God, I thank you for those hands. Lord God, I pray now that that relationship is either established or restored. I pray, Lord God, that the trust is built into that relationship as well as that accountability, Lord. And Father God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I think that there's something going on in our church. I think there's something going on in each and every one of us. I think there's a stirring going on inside of us. I don't know, I just feel it as a pastor. I feel like there's this next thing, this next big thing. God's got something coming, and I just want to make sure that this church and each and every one of us is ready to receive it. It's an outpouring of power. So we're going to have a rally here around the altar, and I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar and meet Jesus face to face and establish that identity once again. If you raise your hand, I challenge you to come down. We're not going to single you out, but come down. For those who didn't raise your hand, said, I need to go down to the altar today because God's got something to activate inside of me, and I got to find out what that opportunity is, because I'm the person that's got to do it. Built you different to do it. You're struggling in your life right now trying to figure that out. This is the moment you have been waiting for. I assure you. Because God transforms lives at the altar. Church, as our worship team begins to sing, I challenge you to make your way down and figure out the activation of the mission in your life and the divine opportunity. Come to the altar with your pastor.
Your hand in every part of my whole life from the start. Jesus, you have always been with me. No matter where I was, you found a way to show.
each and every one of these fine people, Lord. The church that I love, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that they came to the altar seeking that identity in heaven, Lord. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you're giving it to them. We're built different, Lord God, and I just thank you that we have a church that recognizes that, Lord God. I pray down heaven upon each and every one of their lives, Lord God. Father, the opportunity, the mission that you have for them, Lord God, today, I pray that you activate it. I pray, Lord God, that the activity that you've been waiting for now shows up and you launch them into it, Lord. Let them receive everything that you have to give. We are not a people that will settle. Yes. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're activating us as individuals and that you're activating us as a church family, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, before you leave today, we're going to make another declaration. It should be on the screen behind me, but I want you to repeat after your pastor, I am not who the world says I am.
I am not who the world says I am.
I am not stuck where I've been.
I am not stuck where I've been.
I am not too far.
I am not too far.
Too broken.
Too broken.
Or too late.
Or too late.
God has opened the door of opportunity for me.
God has opened the door of opportunity for me.
And I'm stepping into his design.
And I am stepping into his design.
I am set apart.
I am set apart.
By his invitation.
By his invitation.
And my decision.
And my decision.
I'm built different today.
I'm built different today.
Hallelujah. Church, you're serving an unstoppable God. I just pray that we can keep up with him. He's unstoppable, unmovable, unshakable. Does somebody want to be unstoppable, unmovable, and unshakable today?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He built us different. He set us apart for a kingdom opportunity. Church, be unstoppable. Go get it. God bless you.
One, two, three.